for some reason, Mike Katz here at NPR Music and I were talking about the band Kansas. Somehow it came up, and I suddenly thought of the opening cut to their 74 debut record.
Those facial expressions are even as painful as the music that you're making.
I'm mouthing the words to it. You have to understand, I was from Kansas, and we didn't have a lot of big musical icons that teenagers could love when I was growing up that were actually friends. We had Joe Walsh, he was from Wichita. So my friends and I were huge Kansas fans, and boy, we listened to this record nonstop. You're a prog rock guy.
I am, but they were the worst. this press release came in. I think it's maybe why you started thinking of Kansas, which was it says Grand Funk Railroad to perform at Aberdeen Proving Base August 11th. And then it goes on to say, I'm sorry. It says that Glenn Smith presents Grand Funk Railroad, Boston, and Kansas at the Shine Sports Field, Aberdeen Proving Base. And nothing could come to my mind quicker than the scene in Spinal Tap.
Oh, no.
Right.
If I told them once, I told them 100 times to put Spinal Tap first and Puppet Show last.
It's a morale builder, isn't it?
You've got a big dressing room, though. It's all,
what?
Got a big dressing room.
Oh, we've got a bigger dressing room than the Puppet, so that's refreshing.
If I told them once, I told them 100 times, put Spinal Tap first and Puppet Show second. Well, I think I did see that press release, and that might be why I was thinking of him. Grand Funk Railroad, that was one of the first live shows I ever saw.
Me too.
But it was, by the time I got to him, it was the Mark Farner band.
Oh, my God, no.
And it was in basically an aircraft, hangar.
Oh, no, I saw them. They put out like four albums their first year and a half as a band. Can I just see? It's probably been 25 years since I've heard this.
I'm sitting here lonely like a broken man. I serve my time doing the best I can. Walls and bars,
I like this.
So far, so good.
Me, but I don't want no sympathy.
Okay, what they have in common is we were teenagers, and they're both big and loud, and
but they were and they're just a trio. I mean, yeah. It was this sort of reminds me a little bit of Black Keys.
I can hear the swagger.
But this goes on for 9.5 minutes, and of course, talking about smoking reefer and stuff. But I saw when I saw them, I'm going to tell this 1 minute. And we're going to keep going with the show. We'll actually start the show soon. Mark Farner, beautiful man at the time I saw him, maybe less so when you saw him.
I don't remember thinking that.
Shirtless always, had the most beautiful hair, probably about a foot and a half long, or longer, so down the back. Mm-hmm. And he would play imagine an L shape, where he was just bent backwards. Well, he was doing sort of a walk forward to the audience as his back was there and his plug came out of his guitar. And he's in that position. This is totally Spinal Tap now, but then it was real. And a roadie came along and plugged him in and the crowd went absolutely crazy.
Oh, that... I don't know how many we can do, but it reminds me of seeing Tommy Two Tone. I don't know if you remember him. 8-6-7-5-3. Okay, he'd been relegated to the Kansas State Fair. He was opening for the band America back in, I don't know what year it was, 84 or 85 or something like that. And Tommy Two Tone is doing his encore with 8-6-7-5-3-0-9, and he's jamming on the guitar, and he gets down on his knees, and he's leaning back, and he loses his balance and topples, literally head over heels, and his guitar goes clattering to the ground with a squeal of feedback. And then I remember him sitting up and looking out at the audience, sort of dazed, and he had to know. Gosh.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, you're connected to All Songs Considered. I'm Bob Boylan here with Robin Hilton. Here's what we should do. Just do a blog post. All right, we had in this press release, it was Kansas, Boston, and Grand Funk Railroad all playing this show at Aberdeen Proving Grounds. And, or some state fair, you can take it anywhere you want. It's 2042. Let's do this blog post. It's 2042. What are the three bands that are going to play the equivalent of the state fair in Aberdeen?
That's brilliant. I remember asking my sister, who's substantially younger than I am, what is the band you loved when you were growing up and now you just cringe when you hear it? And she said, MC Hammer. So maybe MC Hammer will be at the state fair.
So what should we play?
I've got something that I've been so excited about. I've been listening to nonstop for the past week. It's a group called Django Django. They're from Scotland. They've got this insanely catchy new record out. It's self-titled. And when I first listened to it, I immediately thought, wow, the 80s are back with a vengeance. You know, it's got the analog synths, the choppy new wave guitars, the pop type, simple pop beats. It's all there. But the more you listen, you realize this record is so much more than that. And it's really one of the most refreshing, inventive mixes of sound that I've heard this whole year.
That's cool. I haven't heard this.
Yeah, so Django Django. This song is called Default. Fun band. This record they put out, this self-titled one, Django Django, came out in January, actually, in Europe. It won't be available in the States until mid-August, and we'll have the whole thing online August 6th for a first listen. We've got another song of theirs called Hail Bop, along with a fantastic video on our blog, the All Songs Considered blog right now.
Excellent. You know, back in the middle of June, we put a song on our blog. And we do that a lot. We premiere a lot. It's probably almost as many songs these days and videos as we do on the show every week. So it's another source for us to put stuff out there that we love. Back in June, we put a blog post out that Mike Katzeff wrote. We'll talk more about Mike in a minute. But this was this David Byrne and St. Vincent, who have a record coming out September 11th.
Right.
And we never played anything on the show.
This
album came on. I'm now listening to the whole album and the opening track, which is the one we put on, which is actually maybe because I heard it first, but it's certainly the one that feels the most together collaboratively of all of them, though they did work on all these songs together. is still the one that grabs me. So I'd love to put on the show. It's called, the song's called Who. David Byrne and St. Vincent will have a first listen with that record coming in September, which would be cool. It's a very horn-based record, which is something David Byrne's played with a lot. Back in the early 80s, he did a record called The Knee Plays with the Dirty Dozen Brass Band, and there was just a lot of brass. Here he uses the Dap Kings, and he uses Anti Balas, the very New York-based African band. So it's not the guitar thing that you would think, being both of them being strong guitar players. Let's listen to The Who, not The Who.
Right.
Let's listen to Who by David Byrne and St. Vincent. Unique sound, for sure. It's nice.
Yeah, they both have that unique sound, and I've not heard the whole record yet, but you can really hear how nicely they work together, at least on this song. The similarities in their styles are both really sort of punchy and accentuated and, angular, choppy. It works nicely together. I like that second half of the song, I think, the best.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that they all come together in a pop chorus. You know, I think that they really are both trying to stretch and play with different boundaries than they might normally do on their own, mm-hmm. which is the strength of doing something. John Congleton produced the record, and it's called Love, This Giant. Comes out September 11th. David Byrne, St. Vincent.
Do you remember this CD cover that we got in?
Oh, dear me, yes.
How would you describe this cover?
Well, first of all, it's a woman naked on a what doesn't look like a real horse at all, and it's and the scene is overlooking a water and and across the water is a castle. Neither of that is real. It's more surreal, like looking at a video game, maybe.
Yeah, it's a very fake artificial universe, and she's looking coyly over her shoulder. Well, we have a little shrine in our office where we put CD or album art that is outstanding in its own way.
Yes.
And this was one that you put up there, and I actually grabbed it off of there, and I listened to it, and it turns out it's really good.
Oh, that's good.
it's by a band called Ormonde. And
how do you spell that?
O-R-M-O-N-D-E. And it's a guy-girl duo, Anna Lynn Williams and Robert Gomez. It's a very spacey, dreamy, wonderfully moody record. And I just kind of play a cut for you. It's called Cherry Blossom. The album is called Machine. The band Ormonde, and this song is Cherry Blossom.
Thank you.
Now, would you have ever guessed that this record sounded like that just based on the cover?
I wouldn't. And, yeah. And we're pretty good at looking at records and guessing what they sound like.
Yeah, this is one I was totally wrong about as well. I love this whole record. It's called Machine from Ormond. The two people in the band, I think they're originally from Seattle, but they went to Marfa in North Texas to record this record. Marfa, Texas.
Yeah, well, Marfa's known, and I'm sorry, Marfa residents, because it's all you probably get, is it's known for these weird lights, right?
And they, and like people, UFO lights.
Yeah, they're phenomena, they're sightings that, they're, you know, reflections, they're unknown, bizarre lights that,
in
you know,
the sky.
In the sky. I was just looking up the wiki as we are doing this, and what do they call this, a spoiler? So I just got spoiled, and anybody who doesn't want to know what the Marfa lights might actually be, just turn off for 12 seconds. However, research suggests that most, if not all, of these Marfa lights are atmospheric reflections of automobile headlights and campfires. So it's not UFOs or will-o'-the-wisp or paranormal phenomena.
Well, actually, if you just stop at atmospheric reflections, that sounds very mysterious. Right. But then when you add from campfires and car lights, right. Then it's not. Yes. Anyway, Ormond, the record's called Machine. It's out August 7th.
That's great. So we have a guest today, and Mike Katzoff's been with NPR. We're all going to start to cry, you know.
Told myself I wasn't going to cry. We hired Mike Katzoff as an intern 7 years ago.
We have had a string of amazing interns, yep. But Mike was one of the early home run hitters.
Yep, and somehow he managed to stay. We moved his office 16 times.
Is that true, Mike?
It is. I've had probably about 16 desks, and actually an asterisk, because the desk I'm currently at now, my very last desk...
you still have a few more days.
I still have a few more days. That's right. Yeah. But I sat there for maybe a month or so in 2006. So, yeah. You know, I came full circle, I guess.
We moved him down to the boiler room. Okay. Then we finally moved him into the parking garage, and he kept showing up every day.
That's right.
So, and now here he is, and we're getting ready to say goodbye to him because he's going to WNYC. He's going to be a music producer there for the show Soundcheck.
Which is an awesome bunch of people, Mike. You may have met them for a job interview and stuff, and maybe they had people come in pretending they worked for Soundcheck. No, but they actually are all really nice.
It was Derek Jeter from the Yankees came in. Wow, this is amazing.
You know, just to oversell you.
Yeah, yeah.
No but, kidding. Wow.
Gee whiz, New York sounds so great.
But but they're great people, but we're going to miss you. They benefit from it. You've been stellar for so many years doing, let's go through it. First of all, blog posts, videos for Tiny Desk Concerts, a lot of them, and a lot of the editing of Tiny Desk Concerts.
If you've listened to any of the concerts from South by Southwest in recent years, or Newport, or Sasquatch, that audio came from Mike. He was on the ground.
Cutting that up,
producing that, and getting it back here for everyone to hear. So,
Mike produced Alt Latino, and also produced Pop Culture Happy Hour, and on the Monkey See blog, which Linda Holmes and Stephen Thompson are all a part of, there's a beautiful bit of writing that Linda wrote about Mike. Definitely worth doing, Mike Katzoff. So we thought, what the heck, you know?
Last show he's here for. Let's throw him a bone.
Pick the best cut in the whole wide world.
I did bring a song. It's a duo from Edmonton, Alberta, which is in Canada. And I feel like this year has been, at least for me, a year of a lot of bands that the core of it, for the most part, is a female singer surrounded by a big wash of sound. There's Sleigh Bells, there's Now Now, there's Grimes, there's Y-Oak, things like that. So this is sort of another in that world for me. And it's
Exit Music.
Exit Music, obviously. And it's a band called Purity Ring. And the record just came out, and it's called Shrines. This is a song called Fine Shrine.
us through the port. You make a fine shrine in me. You build a fine shrine in me.
I just really like those serrated beats and a little bit of grimes too. They're all kind of doing that, like that auto-tuned vocal kind of washy sound. So,
I mean, I was hoping that you'd go out on a really good song, but
a really good song.
But you know, it's fine. It's fine. Yeah. It's fine. We'll still remember you.
You guys hug while I talk about this.
I love Mike.
I heard a direct line from that record and the sound in that record to a fellow named Adrian Sherwood. Adrian Sherwood was a producer in the, I'd say, probably as when I became familiar with him, the early 80s, maybe late 70s, but let's say early 80s, in the dub movement. And he made, when punk was really, really strong and music was really, really loud and very, very fast, this was the music that you'd put on to chill, you know. And there's always been that sort of, intense music and then other music, the sort of chill music. And I'm going to put on this Adrian Sherwood record, which is made now, but it isn't all that different than the music he was making back in the 80s. And the record's called Survival and Resistance, comes out the end of August. And I'm going to play the opening cut called Balance. We'll be right back. know that's going to be on my stereo a lot.
It's a lot of people think of summer music, they think of big, anthemic, fun.
Yeah.
That's what I think of when I think of summer music. I think of sort of, it just sounds like the sun melting into the horizon for me on those lazy, hot days where you can just barely move. I like that a lot. Very nice.
Adrian Sherwood, I'll give it to you when we're done recording this show. Huh? I'm going to play something else, which, you know, I bet if I did enough reading.
If I did read.
Actually, there's a connection between our next artist, Nina Cherry, and Adrian Sherwood. Adrian producing records in the post-punk days of the 80s, and Rip Rig and Panic was a band that Nina Cherry had back in 81 in Bristol. And there's so many intertwining connections that I know that these folks knew each other, but I couldn't tell you exactly how. Don Cherry, her father, was a great jazz artist who was an inspiration to a lot of reggae artists and a lot of rock artists back in the day. And Don Cherry would often play with musicians, rock musicians back in the day. I got to play with Don Cherry back in
the early
80s. as he would go around to cities and find musicians to put a band together and then do a show. It's just really cool. He didn't care who you were, which is how I wound up being in there.
but quite an endorsement there.
Yes. Well, I'm just not saying that, you know, wasn't because I was any kind of well-known musician, but I knew the jazz world and he intersected the rock world. Anyway, Nina Cherry has what I think is the best jazz album out this year. It's sort of free jazz record, but a lot of songs on the record are music by the group Suicide from back in the day, the Stooges from back in the day. But I'm going to play the opening cut, which is her cut, and the record's called The Cherry Thing, and the song I'm going to play is called Cashback.
In the magazines might seem more certain, but somewhere in between the lines there's no plain reading, and you know that's why you put scales on me. My soul returnable, exchangeable, impressionable, my price tag sealed by date, replaceable like vegetables. I think I'm built to last. Change your past, it was a blast. They think you're losing time, you realign. You treat me like cash back. You treat me like cash back. You spend me, you change.
We were talking a little bit as that was playing. I'm not a big free jazz fan, but that is so amazing. I can just imagine how exciting that would be to see them live.
I want that live. I want that live so bad.
Yeah.
Sometime this year. The band is called The Thing. They're Norwegian, Swedish musicians. Norwegian / Swedish. I don't know what percentage. And the record's The Cherry Thing. The Thing got their name from Don Cherry. Don Cherry, the trumpeter, the father of Nina Cherry, he had a record called The Thing. So there's all this interweaving stuff that is going to make your brain explode. So fabulous, fabulous record. I hope she does a tour of this stuff live, The Cherry Thing.
Bob, what were you doing in 1979? The year was 1979. What were you doing?
I was in a band.
Your band?
Oh, on stage.
Yeah,
performing.
Rocking out.
Playing with Don Cherry.
In 1979?
Either 79 or 80, yeah.
Well, I was really into the Muppet movie at the time. And the Dukes of Hazzard was my favorite TV show. I was 10 years old.
There were things we did to those movies you don't want to know about.
Well, I ask it because the name of the song I want to go out on today is called 79, as in 1979. It's from a band called Heavy Cream. This is a four-piece group, all female. Do we say girl group anymore? Do we say that for brawny, hard rock and garage rock bands like this, female group? But anyway, they pack a serious punch. They're a lot of fun, great energy. Their music is just this noisy, messy burst of 2.5 minutes every song. Heavy Cream, they've got a record called Super Treatment out, and I want to play the song called 79. Real quickly, this band is on the same label as Jeff the Brotherhood, at least Jeff the Brotherhood.
Oh, I saw them. They opened for Jeff the Brotherhood.
That's it. Right. They were on tour with him. Yeah.
That's right, yeah.
They're a nice pairing. This was before Jeff the Brotherhood signed for Warner.
Awesome.
And Ty Segall produced this record, Super Treatment, song 79.
Before we go to the Newport Folk Festival this past weekend, we got a bunch of great shows from the festival. They're on the website, npr.org/Newport Folk is one easy way to find them, and we'll put them in our podcast, the All Songs Considered Live Concert Podcast. You know about that concert podcast, don't you, folks? Mm-hmm. Subscribe to it. You'll get an awful lot of good music. We have years since My Cats have started, right, Mike? Do you remember your first concert that you went to?
Absolutely. It was Meriwether Post Pavilion. It was M Ward opening for the Shins, opening for the White Stripes.
I remember sending Mike an email after he'd been hired and said, by the way, this is what you'll be doing when you first get here. And you wrote back something like, this job is getting better and better.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a pretty amazing way to start. And I remember you sending me backstage to get some information, I think from M Ward and his band. And as I was opening the door to the backstage area, because we were setting up on the stage, ran smack into Meg White. And I was like, this is pretty amazing. This is showbiz.
you knew you'd arrive,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Awesome. So that was awesome show.
And that was 2005, our first year we ever started doing concerts. Right.
And we have lots of concerts from those years still on our All Songs Considered Live podcast. Mike, once again, thank you. We love you.
This one's for you, man. I know you weren't even born yet, but 79. Here we go.
From NPR Music, it's All Songs Considered.
Yeah.
it was a good show.
Yeah.
Yes. Mike, totally, you can go now. I don't know why you're
still sitting.
Why are you still here? The show's over. Go home. Go. Go to New York.